Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 2 of Survivor Season 40 recap. I know, episode. I can't even say it because I'm looking at Russell Hance at the bottom of our screen here. How'd y'all like the episode from Russell Hance? Which means Russell's watching.
Even so, you know, Russell. Well, he was watching at 10:30 when the stream was created, even though it's currently 12:20 a.m. on the East Coast. So hopefully he's still listening after 2 hours of staring at nothing.
Well, I hope he's still here. I hope he had it saved. I'm sure he was loving the fact that Boston Rob just had an incredibly villainous episode. Incredibly villainous, but nobody's going to talk about it because everybody just loves Rob. We'll talk all about it, though, because I have so much to say about Parvati, Ethan, and Boston Rob and how they talked to Ben at that tribal. I'm laughing because it was just unreal. But man, if that was Scott Pollard and Jason, everybody would be so angry.
I don't know. I think their tone was still different. I actually wrote in my notes that Ben's was like, I have done what Ben did tonight so many times where I like, and probably there is video evidence on this YouTube page of that happening. Like, you go into this argument with a point, and then you walk out realizing that you agreed with the opposition. And it's very awkward. And he realized it halfway through and he didn't know what to do.
He had no idea what to do. And more of what I'm saying is
paranoid.
Yeah, exactly. More of what I'm saying is how Ben just kind of jumped in there and said what he was going to say. And then I think it was Rob who was like, then what are you saying? And as soon as Rob said whatever Rob said, Ethan and Parvati both yelled the exact same thing at Ben. And you just saw Ben completely shell up and be like, I don't know what to say. I'm completely screwed. I don't know what to do. And like, look, I'm not actually saying like, oh, they bullet. I think that's the most overused freaking phrase in Survivor history. It was amazing. It was hilarious. But I just sat there and I watched it. I'm like, oh my God, this poor man. They're treating him like he's a 6-year-old child.
And that's what's so interesting about this episode. There's so many different layers to it because one, this shows just like how much these new school players can run circles. These old school players. I don't even know if it's run circles, but just have that mystique. But at the same time, regardless, going into this tribal council, an old school player was going home. It was going to be Danny or it was going to be Parvati. When Ben first piped up, I was like, this is good for Ben because he's about to freak them out and get Danny out. And then I thought with Adam chirping about the idol, I was like, Adam, what are you doing? Like, you're painting this gigantic target on your back. How did they get messenger bags? That's a new one.
Well, they had them last week too. And I was like, damn, if I ever play Survivor, I better get those laptop cases.
Yeah, I could, but that's better than a bag I'm bringing to work tomorrow. Are you kidding?
Crappy backpack.
Like a lot of money on my
Barnes and Noble. Okay. Yeah. This is like a $6 backpack.
Yeah. I got to buy one of those Survivor backpacks, but no matter what, I love Ben. I love him. He's ridiculous. He's so good. And he's not bad, but he's just so entertaining and he's so in over his head.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying it. But at the same time, he's not. Like, he started off great. He helped Denise find an idol. He's pretty much saying he'll help people find idols. Mm-hmm. And then just, I think he handled that really awkward conversation with Ethan and Danny. I think he handled
that was the funniest part of the episode. That was so amazing. Good.
That was the Chelsea and Dean, like, hey, Dean, you can't talk about splitting the votes when the entire tribe is here.
Yeah, I know. And it was, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think this goes to just show all these winners, they bring something different to the table, which I'll get into who I actually believe is going to win this season. And spoiler alert, I don't believe it's going to be Michelle, though Michelle's still the queen tonight. She was great. Her, Jeremy, and Adam totally ran the show. I don't care what anybody says. but I think it just goes to show how great the winners of Survivor really are. How even like the boring ones or the less interesting ones or the ones who needed idols to win or the ones who relied only on their social game or the ones who went to every trouble. It doesn't matter what their story was. Every single one of them is so awesome. And we're seeing that this entire season so far. And yeah, Ben, is he going to be the best out of anybody? No, he's not the best. He's not the best winner. Not by a long shot, and it's showing right now. But Ben is bringing so much to the table already on this season. And I love that he's in over his head, but knows he's in over his head. And honestly, we give everybody
daring.
I was going to say, we give everybody the benefit of the doubt. We gave Elaine the benefit of the doubt all of last season. Why? Because Elaine's a fan favorite. Nobody wants to give Ben the benefit of the doubt. I don't think Ben's as dumb as he seems. Like, Ben has won Survivor before, and yeah, he's not great socially. We know that. But I think he's trying. Yeah, and I think that's why he's trying to play up this, oh, shucks, I have no idea what's going on. I mean, the part, I forget who it was who was speaking. I think it was Adam, and he's just kind of like dancing or whatever. Amazing. It's so tremendous. Cute. I love
it. It's good. And he's like, I think he knew he'd like effed up big time at tribal council, but he was like cracking up. Like, he was just like, how the heck did I get myself in here? Yeah. Like, he's having a lot of fun and it's just really endearing. And I'm glad you said that. And I saw what you retweeted. I had to log out because I watched it on West Coast time today, but I saw what you retweeted where Nick was like, everybody chill out. We like Ben. Like,
and Ben's, Michelle was the one who was tweeting, I love Ben or something like that. Everybody just wants to hate Ben.
He's really funny. Like, let him play the way, like, let him win the way he won. Let him play the way he's playing. Like, I hate that Danny went home. I freaking love Danny. And I hate that after all this, it was still just such a unanimous vote out for her. But she,
shocking.
She struggled to play this pace of the game. And You see it a little bit with Ethan. You see it a bit with Ben, who's playing a new school game. Mm-hmm. You see it with Tony, who's like building a ladder because he's going so insane because he can't go hunting for idols. So it's such a weird game to adapt to. And like you said, you can tell we're watching a cast of winners because Boston Rob sat there and he just played that weird yo-yo game and he let them come to him.
And they all came to him. And again, I can never give Boston Rob as much credit as everybody else gives him. This is his sixth time playing. I mean, it's really unbelievable. And I'm sure if it is his sixth, right? Because I know we got shelled in the comments last week for so many things.
So, this is his fifth.
And I didn't study every single season before we sat down to watch season 40. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. So
Sandra said it was her first idol because she said it was her first idol. Please don't attack us.
Like, it happens. But
we're also really hype. Anyways, keep going.
So, yeah, this is Boston Rob's sixth time playing. It's hard for me to sit here and be like, wow, he's amazing because he's played it so many times. Obviously, he's going to have better footing than Ben or better footing than other people. But what I'm impressed with is, like, Ethan and Parvati. And I am impressed with Boston Rob right now because what they're showing is they're showing to win Old School Survivor, you had to play a completely different game than you play to win New School Survivor. And Old School Survivor can win New School Survivor. New School Survivor couldn't win Old School Survivor. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's no knock against Adam or Michelle or Ben or Nick Wilson. That's not a knock against any of them. It's just the game is so different. What you had to do to win, and maybe some of them could win. Maybe somebody like Michelle could win because we've seen Danny win and stuff like that. Maybe Adam could win because he was such a big fan. But what you're realizing now is while those are considered some of the more boring games, and I know Parvati's not boring, so nobody crap on me for that one. But you know, Ethan's game in Africa, nobody's looking at that going, wow, that was awesome. Like,
that was flashy.
Yeah, Sandra's game in Pearl Islands, not considered great. Never was, never has been until she won Heroes Villains. But all these older school games, what we're seeing is all these players, they had to be social because they didn't have idols and everything like that. The way they got far in the game was by either being likable or convincing people that they were likable. These new school players, when they don't have, a lot of them have had idols in their hands or some sort of advantage. Remember, Tommy was the first one since who to not have some sort of advantage in his winning season? And
like Natalie White?
Natalie? It was absurd.
Someone attacked me, but I think it's Natalie White.
It's absurd how long ago it was. And now you're seeing like how much they struggle when there's not going to be an idol for all of them. Though maybe production will do it because this episode did start with two idol finds. There's not going to be an idol for everybody. And so because of that, these new school players are going to have to learn to adapt and play the old school game while the old school players can still play their old school game and try to sprinkle in some of the new school. I mean, I'm incredibly impressed with Yule. I'm incredibly impressed with Ethan. I'm incredibly impressed with Parvati. I'm incredibly impressed that Boston Rob has convinced everybody to not vote him out. Now, I do think tonight the one I was the most impressed with, and I will continue to say this, and I'm not just fanboying here, but I really am the most impressed with Adam. Because and I have so many reasons for this, but maybe Alexa, if you have any type of reaction to that, I don't want to go on too much of a rant because I realize I just talked for like a minute and a half straight, and now I want to just talk about Adam.
No, let's dive into Adam because this is what's so cool about Adam's game because there were like two times tonight where I was like, ooh, I don't know if I would have done that, like the comment at
you gotta make it
about the idols, like that's kind of intense. The like I think Rob's move of everyone dump your bags. That's a power move that really only Rob can do. Like if Adam did that, everyone would be like, get the hell, who are you?
And this is why I think what Adam did was so good. And here's what I think. So Adam, clearly his relationship with Denise is very good. I thought that they were actually going to vote out Ben tonight because Ben opens his mouth. Adam doesn't trust Ben really, doesn't like that he has the idol. They keep calling him a
wild card.
Yeah. And it reminds me kind of Cole back in 35, which you don't want. That was the season Ben won. And we saw how that blew up Jessica's game. So when I sit here and I look at what Adam did tonight, I thought he perfectly handled the Denise situation. Make sure Ben doesn't have the other half of the idol. Sure, I'll take that half of the idol. And what he did and what him, Jeremy, and Michelle aren't going to get the credit for, but should get the credit for, when they sat down and had their little meeting, the three of them said, okay, do we get rid of Parv now or do we get rid of Danny? And getting rid of Danny was 100% the right move because you don't piss off Parvati. You don't piss off Boston Rob and you don't piss off Ethan. You don't know if there's going to be a swap soon. You don't know what's going to happen. If you get rid of Parvati, Danny, or Parvati, Boston Rob, or Ethan, it makes it so that two people are on the outside. Danny was an easy person to get behind And the new schoolers get rid of an old school player. So now that Danny is gone, if you really want to start taking out the old schoolers, you can do it easily. And now, even though you might make people angry, like Ethan is going to be like, well, okay, Boston Rob's gone. Me and Parv aren't really that close. Sure, I'll go work with Adam. I'll go work with Ben. I'll go work with whoever. Or if Parv goes, maybe Ethan says, well, Boston Rob, you know, I know you're going to be a bigger threat, so I'm going to go work on this side. So I think getting rid of Danny was 100% the right move. And I think Adam had a big say in this.
But I think you just made a point that, like, I don't think it was a great move, because why get rid of the consensus? Because it was Adam who said, Danny's so easy. Why don't we go for the big guns?
And it's the swaps and everything.
I feel like if Rob swaps, that's even better, because then he's probably going to end up with Tyson. Or he thinks Sanders on his side. And so that's a disconnect that I'm very excited to see.
I know. I love that. I love that. We'll definitely talk about that.
But what I was going to say was that, okay, you pissed off Rob. You have to piss off Rob. He's got to go. You have to piss off Parvati. She's got to go.
But I think what they were worried about at this point right now is, let's say they get rid of Boston Rob and all of a sudden there's a swap next week, right? Or maybe not a swap next week, but they win the next challenge. I mean, these challenges have been pretty even. We'll talk about that challenge tonight. It fell apart at the end, but these challenges have been pretty even. So let's say you get rid of Boston Rob tonight. Now you have Parvati, Danny, and Ethan. Parvati is feeling on the outs. Ethan's feeling on the outs. All of a sudden you swap. And now Parvati and Ethan and Danny, three old schoolers who Danny was towing that line a little bit. So Parvati went home tonight, not Boston Rob. So for this example, I need to say that. So Parvati goes home. It's Boston Rob, Ethan, and Danny. Boston Rob, Ethan, and Danny are all kind of getting along if Parvati's gone. But you've pissed off Boston Rob, and Boston Rob doesn't trust you. Ethan might not trust you. You could swap, and all of a sudden you have no numbers on your side if you're Adam. By getting rid of Danny, if you win the next immunity challenge and then swap and find yourself with Ethan, Boston Rob, and one other person from your tribe, you keep the group together, because you've shown, like, look, we voted out Danny. That's who you wanted anyway. Now, the next time you go, there's got to be a line drawn, because it's old school versus new school. But the new schoolers just completely took control of that tribe by giving the old school players what they wanted. Which is crazy. By Danny going, the old schoolers got what they wanted, but the new schoolers also got exactly what they wanted and now are firmly in control of that tribe.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, that's a good point about the swap. I think I also am kind of glad that we haven't swapped yet. I was expecting that to happen today. But where I want to rewatch is why the old schoolers wanted to get rid of Danny so badly, because it was someone who said it early, like, the new schoolers have had the numbers here.
Yeah.
So why do you want to break that divide? And I'm really curious to see how that breakup between Parvati and Danny happened. And we'll hear Danny's side of it, but I'm interested in hearing.
We won't, though. We won't, because there's no exit press. So we won't hear anything. And I'll be honest with everybody. I think Amber's got no shot at getting back in, but you got two strong women out there on the island right now who could both be back in the game with Natalie Anderson and Danny Boatwright.
I mean, Natalie Anderson's going to have 15 fire tokens by the time that first challenge.
I know. It's going to be, if you got every other player's fire token, you can just walk back into the game and sit at final three. And Natalie Anderson's going to be like, well, thankfully, here I am. I mean, it really is. I mean, you have two of the stronger women there. I don't know why they would want to give into it, but I think the main reason is Danny brings up Boston Rob's name the first time, and it's like, okay, that's forgivable. Then she brings up Parvati's name, and now it's like, wait a second, what is going on here? She starts revealing that there's an old school alliance, despite the fact that the old schoolers don't want to think there is. There definitely was. Unlike the poker alliance, this one was legit. And so that, I think, they're just like, what good is she going to do for us? She's hurting us more than she's helping us. Let's get rid of her. We can't swing the numbers to get a Ben or something like that, which I think they could have swung the numbers, but I don't think they realized that. I think Adam would have been willing to part with Ben, and I think Denise would have as well.
I think Ben's the new school version of Danny, in the sense of everyone would have been like, okay, that's totally
sure. Fine. Yeah, throw my hands up at that. But the second thing that really impressed me with Adam, and I know a lot of people might say that's not a good move, that's not whatever, but at Tribal Council, you have to stand up to Rob, because right now, Rob is making Ben stutter over every single line. He's got Ethan, he's got Parvati. He's got his wife on edge of extinction. You don't know what she's getting in the game. He might not have everything, but he's got Sandra on the other side. You don't know that Sandra's pissed at him. And what he's doing by being like, everybody dump it out, he gets to judge reactions. He gets to do all of this. And everybody just goes along with it because that's what people do. And that's why Boston Rob won Redemption Island. And that's why Boston Rob and Amber got to the final of All-Stars. And that's why Boston Rob, had Tyson not decided to eat hot dogs, would have ended up probably making it to the end in Heroes versus Villains, because he had the best alliance in that game. And it's because Boston Rob gets you to do exactly what you want because you're intimidated by him. And if everybody's going to keep being intimidated, sure, we'll dump it out. You dump out your bag, but you say, why are we doing this? What is your problem? Because you need to stand up to that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's going to continue and everybody's going to start getting that thought in their head of, okay, this is what we can do. This is what we need to do, because Boston Rob, this is how Boston Rob operates. We just have to let it go. I think you have to stand up to him.
And it also clearly wasn't effective, because all Denise had to do was just move her idol to her leg. Yeah. And then put it back in.
Thank God she was sitting on that stump.
Yeah, good thing she had that stump.
Mm-hmm.
Phil.
Because if she's in the middle.
What do you think?
I know. If she's in the middle, she's in trouble. But she gets to sit at that stump.
Oh, that reminds, speaking of like tribal council issues. So Adam has had a few struggles with tribal council. Nothing to do with what he's been saying. But the big news is that Adam struggled to light his fire the first time. And this time, he struggled to put his torch in the hole. And what I have been wanting, what I've been waiting for, is for some kind of advantage at Tribal Council. Mm-hmm. And when he went down and was like messing around down there, I was like, oh my God, Adam saw something.
He found
something. And then they've Rob like side-eyeing him, and no, Adam just like could not find the.
And you know what though? We'll have to, I'm sure we'll be able to pull a tell-all with him, or we'll hope to. I mean, he kind of owes us his fame, but I really do think that I would not be surprised if he thought he saw something. And that's why he went over there. And then
everyone's looking. You can tell that everyone's looking in the voting booth too. Yeah,
and he plays dumb. I mean, Adam plays dumb because you have to play dumb. And but at the same time, maybe he just is like, he's getting a doofy edit right now. But he's getting a doofy edit that's also very, very, very strategic. Like, yeah, he has overcome odds twice.
And him telling Denise, like, what are you doing giving that thing to Parvati? Mm-hmm. Like, don't do that. Yeah. Do we see her give it to him, or is it just implied?
I think she gives it to him, and like he's like, okay, you can have it back or whatever. It's kind of the same thing we see with Kim and Sophie, which we have not talked about that tribe at all, and we need to, because boy, was that a mess. But I just wanted to really draw attention to what Adam is doing in this game and why I'm impressed with it, because I know Adam was one of those winners that again, a lot of these new schoolers are. Nobody really gives them that much credit. They feel like they're overrated, whatever. They wouldn't have won anything else. And maybe they wouldn't have won older seasons. But I do think that Adam is playing a very good game. And he's kind of teaching Denise a couple things out there. And Denise is one of the best female winners. And Adam's teaching her a couple things out there and being like, you don't want to give it to Parv. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Why? Oh, God, Ben knows. But then again, Denise was the one who found the idol, which, by the way, for the prop bet game, I think we have to make it where Denise and Adam both find the idol.
But one thing that I want to commend Ben for, again, started off super hot, him not pressuring Denise to give him the half.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good play. I think he handled that really well. Denise found an idol. It's very exciting.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I love that. I'm crossing things off. Look how many notes I took, because I watched this so early today. Believe it or not, the West Coast time was Alexa's idea, not mine. So I watched it really early, and I just have like a page full of notes.
Yeah,
and I was worried I was going to forget.
I watched it an hour ago. I actually might want to do next week West Coast time too, but we'll talk about that separately.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Also, I loved Ethan saying, bro, you suck today, to Boston Rob.
That was so good. You know, Ethan's been sitting on that for like a hot 18 mm-hmm. years, or however long it's been all start. But that's what's okay. We'll get over to the, is it Dakal? I don't, the Dakal, red tribe.
Red. Kind of, it's red.
We'll get over to the red tribe in a second. But like, again, Ethan, Rob, and Parvati, I know we're not going to get them for much longer, but like Rob saying Parvati's my number one. Where was that in season 20? Like, it's so good. And Ethan, like, I know that they're the popular kids, and I know that like we're not supposed to like them, but whatever. I love them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, it's really, really.
His hat is ridiculous.
I love his hat. It's amazing. It's so fantastic. But yeah, I mean, most of the action did happen on this tribe, at least post tribal, because obviously, and we had the opening of Amber, the line that probably made so many people roll their eyes. Amber talking about helping Boston Rob with tokens in the game. It's like, God, please stop telling us these things. Please stop making it feel like they're trying to just hand Boston Rob this thing. But then again, Amber's got to find the stuff. And I have to say, what I hated about Edge of Extinction tonight was the fact that they had this cool clue. They show us the water well thing, and then no matter what was going to happen, whoever opened the water well was going to see it. Yeah, and I hated that.
You didn't even need the clue. I looked at that clue and I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, and I thought it was great. Like, if that's what the clue is and you have to read it down and realize, like, oh, water well. Okay, I'll go do it. And it's really hidden in the water well. That would have been great. But anybody, she didn't even figure it out.
She could have walked in there without the clue.
Yeah, and again, it's just to get advantages in people's hands, and it ends up giving Jeremy that safety without power advantage, which I think will actually be good for Jeremy on this season, because there's going to be times where Jeremy's in trouble. And I think that might end up being incredibly beneficial for him.
Yeah. And if Jeremy had two fire tokens, right? Now he only has one.
Now he only has one.
I'm going to need, you know, they used to have those immunity idol trackers. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to need that at some point.
I know.
But if he only had one fire token, I would not have been jumping.
I wouldn't have taken it.
Yeah. Him having two, I think, is big. But if that's like, if you only have one fire token, that's what you're getting. I don't know.
And if it would have cost more than one fire token, I would have never bought it.
No, definitely not.
Because all it does, that really saves you for one episode, but it's not as powerful as immunity idol, because you don't know what's going to go on at the tribal and you can't put votes on anybody or really strategize it. You're just, bye, see ya, I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, I guess you can strategize and then just dip. But I feel like in the tribal council that you leave, you have to be like really quiet. You can't like be Tony and then ditch.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right.
Everyone's going to be mad at you.
You're right.
Speaking of Tony, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's go over to the Dakal tribe where Amber has been voted off. And Tony, who is losing his freaking mind, just wants to build a ladder that is so high.
But not carry the ladder. Did you notice he was not the one carrying?
Oh, my God. That was such a great scene of all of them marching in place and him just doing the left, right, left. And it's like Tony's not touching the ladder.
No. And that is a janky ladder.
No, but that's how he built it. He did that on purpose. Yeah. That was the structure. It's supposed to rotate. And like, I am shocked that the producers let him do that.
That
because
was
like
incredibly unsafe.
Incredibly unsafe. He could have fallen and died. I mean, when he stepped on that first rung and it just immediately cracked, and Yul's like, Tony, you don't want to be the first person to get medevaced. Tony might want to be the person to get medevaced. And I love that this was all really just to get back at Yul, because then he gets one of the breadfruit and he's like, haha, Yul, how's that for you? It's like, Jesus, Tony, you just put your life on the line strictly to like one up Yul. Good for you, man.
I know. And Yul's thing was pretty cool. Like
Yul's thing was great.
Yeah. Of course, Yul just like,
I was using more calories than I wanted to get that. I'm like, oh my God, you'll explain
my body
it to
looks
me.
Too perfect. So now I need to use this thing.
He's burning off his muscle now. How dare he?
What I love, a lot of camp life.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Loving the camp life. Love, I don't know what a breadfruit is. It looks like a jackfruit, which I only learned of recently. Did not know that jackfruit was a fruit. Camp life, I'm loving it. And Sophie and Tyson together, I know they're not together, but in tandem are wonderful narrators, because they are two very different types of snarky, and it's so funny. I can't say I forgot how much I liked Sophie, because candidly, we got so little of Sophie in her season, but man, she is funny. Like, I knew Tyson was funny, but Sophie is like biting.
And this goes to, I don't think it's going to be Michelle, guys. I'm finally give up. I think Sophie's going to win this freaking season. Because let's really think about this. Let's think about this, though. Let's think about
this. So down on Sophie.
I was so down on her. But I thought she was going to be in over her head. I didn't think she was going to. But let's think about this. Tonight, Sophie is our narrator. What was she on South Pacific? She was boring. That's what she was on South Pacific. She was there. She had
didn't they try to make her like entitled too?
Yeah, they tried to make her like entitled. Like she was so much better than everybody. She thought she was better than everybody, when really that was Albert. And Albert will admit that he thought that he just knew everything. You know, it was the coach show. It was the Ozzy show. It was the Cochran show. It was the Brandon Hans show. It was everybody's show. It was the Whitney Duncan show more than it was Sophie Clark. Sorry, everybody. But I just feel like
what show?
We didn't get much of Sophie really at all. In South Pacific, she got very few confessionals. She was just there. I mean, yeah, she was good, but she was just there. Like, I never disliked Sophie. She was just there. And now all of a sudden we come into an all winter season with personalities like Tyson and Sandra and Parvati and Boston Rob and Ben and all these people. And Sophie has been like the freaking star of the show. And I mean the star of the show from a Ben has probably been the star, but not the star the way you want to be the star on an all winter season. Sophie has gotten a lot of confessionals. Every single thing she said has been intelligent. She's running circles around arguably the greatest female winner of all time in Kim. And she's aligned with the best person to be aligned with because they're clearly going to be a bigger target than you the entire game. And everybody likes them. She's playing perfect. I don't know what more she can do. And it's terrifying me because I had her getting like 16th freaking place in everything and saw no way she would ever get far.
She's crushing it and crushed it in the puzzle tonight. Absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
What was Boston Rob doing?
No, he's Boston Bobby now. Okay. He can't be Boston
Pensacola
Rob.
Bob now.
He's got to be Pensacola Bob because that was terrible.
I demoted to Florida Bob.
He's just Florida man. It's just Florida man. Florida man like blows puzzle. Like it was just terrible. He was terrible at it. He just blew it. And
we're
like,
gonna need someone to make a Florida man headline for us.
I know. There's a couple things I need. I need that and I need a GIF of when Jeff was doing the digging thing, but was like kind of like rocking or whatever. I want to see
that. I missed that. I love
it. It was at Tribal. It was awful. But Pensacola Bob, he overthought the puzzle. He really did. And I get like wanting to be organized and everything like that, but he overthought it. And he was like, look at me, Denise. This is what we have to do. That works in Redemption Island because nobody else knows what the hell they're doing. That doesn't work on this season. No. Like you can't be doing that. And they could have done it simpler. And it was Sophie. And who was with Sophie? They killed
Sandra.
Sandra. Yeah, they killed
Sound
it.
Beast.
I'm Sandra just pumped for Sandra to sit out next week. Get back to doing what she's great at.
Just yelling at Tony while she's sitting out.
Oh, my God.
Also, you know, like there are just so many hints that this is an all-winter season. Not hints, but it's just like Easter eggs maybe. Like in a regular season, I feel like production doesn't let you – stack the puzzle pieces not in like a visually appealing way, but I guess if you're like Boston Rob, like, yeah, all right.
I think you can't build on the ground because you know when we've gone to the finale,
we watch it.
They have to build up, and they don't want you building. But Boston Rob wasn't really building the puzzle; he was just separating. Which they're not going to tell you can't separate pieces because
good point.
I think that's different. He was just stacking the pieces, saying, "Okay, this is one color, this is the other color," but he totally overthought it, and. It was just a bad strategy. And I thought it was funny when Ethan was like, you suck today, bro. And it was just like, I suck today too, because Ethan was awful too. Like the old men aren't what they used to be. And that challenge is such a brutal challenge. I love that challenge. I think it's a great challenge.
Such a good challenge.
I think it's a great challenge. We've seen that a couple times where you have to take it apart, put it back together. But that was a great, great challenge.
So. I was afraid that Sandra and Sophie were going to be too short to fill up that
part. They had the little stump.
Like a step stool or something. But yeah, Sophie crushed it. I candidly have not ever rewatched South Pacific, but I guess Sophie must have been really good at puzzles, or she trained a lot because
she did. She was. I mean, she had that epic comeback against Ozzy. That comeback against Ozzy was incredible. Yeah,
you're right.
And I mean, Sophie also called herself the devil today when Kim gave her the other half of the idol after believing in God so passionately during South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
God. So see, that's
the thing with Kim. I mean, not that Kim got like a religious edit. I would not even attempt to go so far as to say that. But Kim, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Kim said, like, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, enough for there to be like one religious reference. And Sophie was like, not that shit again.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I know. But what does that say about the game Sophie's playing otherwise, too? She has this 6-person alliance that we saw, Sarah, Sandra. You know, we saw that. It was Yule, Kim. No, not Yule and Kim. What am I saying? Yule, Sophie, Sarah, Sandra. There's too many S's in that alliance. Wendell and Nick. And she gets Kim to give her an idol. Are you kidding me? Like, it's unbelievable. It's really incredible.
Kim came to her. And Sophie was like, I haven't proven anything to you.
Are you kidding me? Go give this to somebody else. Like, she even said, you should be giving this to Tyson, not me. And I really think that, you know, I don't think that tribe, I mean, maybe that tribe loses next week, but I think there's probably going to be a swap at 16. Blue loses again. It's up in the air. If red loses again, I really think it's got to be Kim or Tyson because Tony has Sarah watching his back. Cops R Us is reborn.
Cops R Us is awesome. It was so good hearing both their sides of Sarah getting voted out. And it was awesome as Sarah's narrating and you see them walking. And it's the two of them so perfectly. And it's Tony just like up her butt, like talking and like his hands are everywhere. And Sarah is just cool as a cucumber. Mm-hmm. not doing anything. It was a very, very like telling of the two of them.
It was. And it was great. I love that they've like bonded since Kageyama, because I know Sarah was incredibly hurt when she actually got voted out, you know, swearing on the badge and everything meant a lot to her. And then, you know, she goes out, she wins her season. And now the two of them are able to be like, okay, let's do this and let's really do it. Because Tony, I mean, let's be real too. Sarah was coming after Tony when Tony voted her out. So like both of them were going to have this bitterness towards each other, but I love that they've been able to put it aside. Cause I'm so down for Cops Are Us Part 2.
I'm so excited for Cops Are Us Part 2. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's going to be incredible. It's going to be the absolute best. I'm so pumped for that. I mean, really Tyson is the only one without an ally on that tribe, because Kim's at least trying. Who is Tyson aligned with other than probably the doctor who was going to have to come and pull Tony out of the game? I mean, I love Tyson's confessionals tonight, but he's not aligned with anybody. He's really on his own, which is surprising because of how likable Tyson has been in his other seasons.
Yeah. I think, I mean, he might, I don't really know what the dynamics are now because I guess they won, but it's funny. I thought they were going to be the hot mess tribe in the sense of like just the personalities are everywhere. The relationships are everywhere, but they're becoming like the like cutesy tribe, like the funny mm-hmm. kumbaya tribe. Like I think Yul being like a huge goofball is great. I think that's working really well for Wendell. I think Tony, like, I honestly think how Tony is acting is like having a trickle down effect on everybody else. Cause if Tony's going crazy, then I think everyone's going to go crazy.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's actually been good for the tribe. You get stuck with Tony on a tribe, there's a good chance you lose just because, I mean, obviously he was never going to lose to that Brange tribe in his season, but there's a good chance you lose just because Tony's crazy and he drives your tribe nuts. That tribe is surprisingly unified. Like I said, there's an alliance of six: Tony and Sarah, Kim and Sophie, even though Sophie's saying, I don't want any part of this. And then you have Tyson. Like, that would be interesting if that tribe went to tribal, because I don't know who would go home. It doesn't feel like it feels like it should be Tyson, but it can't be that simple. And it feels like it should be Kim, but it can't be that simple.
Yeah. And I think I'm really enjoying seeing Kim play from the bottom, because I think she's the one who's having like the complete opposite game so far. Mm-hmm. Like Denise, I feel like Denise, I want to get to Denise in a little bit because I have a lot to say about her, but like Kim is the only one who is just like really struggling. And I guess Danny a little bit too, but Danny played from the bottom. Danny didn't have allies the entire second half of Guatemala.
Yeah.
But so Yul won't be doing this anymore. But after the first episode, Yul wrote this like beautifully worded essay, pretty much about his thought process throughout the first episode. And he said that he was targeting Kim as an ally. He actually really wanted to work with Kim. So after seeing how that went down with Sophie, I'm going to assume that was Yule's idea and not Sophie's idea. Mm-hmm. But I think Kim is safe just because she has that shield. But at the same time, she's still Kim. And she is the one whose reputation is really carrying the most weight, I would say.
And I got to say, that's what's so freaking cool about watching this right now, is that like everybody's got a lot to lose and everybody's so good. But certain players are looking terrible because I think they feel the pressure. And I think that's what happened to Kim. I think Kim felt the pressure. I think that's what happened to Danny. You got to remember, nobody from Guatemala has ever played a second time. The only one who played after Guatemala was Stephanie LaGrossa. And what she got, 19th, 18th? It was terrible. What was it? Shut your mouth. That was all she got on that season when she got voted out and James just went off. But like, I think she felt the pressure here of, I'm representing my season. It's been years and years and years. She's incredibly competitive. And I think she panicked. And I do think, though, that she could still get her way back in from Edge of Extinction, you know, at that first merge challenge. Who knows who's going to go home next? She's good at challenges. And if she does, all of a sudden the pressure is gone. And it's exactly what happened to Rick Devins. You're already playing on a second life. You don't deserve to be there. Not that you don't deserve to be there, but you shouldn't be there. So you're playing with house money and it's like, sure, whatever happens, happens. And all of a sudden you become valuable. And I think that's like, Danny had so much pressure. I do hope that we get to see her maybe get her way back in, depending on who else gets voted out before the merge. Obviously it could change next week. If Adam goes, I'll be like, well, I hope Adam gets back in. But yeah. You know, right now I'm saying like, man, it would be kind of cool to see Danny get back in and not have that pressure. Cause I think she was just super paranoid. I don't think she had a good relationship with any of the old schoolers outside of the game. I mean, she even went up to Amber and said, great meeting you. That's insane. They played three seasons apart. Like, what the hell?
Crazy.
So that's how I feel about all that.
Who Danny was going to bequeath her fire token to. Something we did not talk about enough, the word bequeath, which I know we will be seeing and memeing a lot about this season. I was curious who it was going to be, and it was Denise, which leads into my whole point of, not my whole point because I haven't made it yet, people are really drawn to Denise, even though she's not playing a shaky game, but I think she's similar to Kim where she's like, oh, this is like a little harder than I thought. And Denise, again, had Malcolm, but past that, Denise was kind of floating by herself a lot. And Adam really trusts Denise. Ben really trusts Denise. Danny really trusts Denise. I think her having, this is going to be the wrong word, but that kind of submissive personality in, especially on the tribe that she's on, is doing wonders for her.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, Denise is a great, I think Denise is a great winner. I think she's a great player. I think that every single time Denise plays, she's going to have to be the person who's playing from the bottom. Yeah. Denise is not a player who plays from the top. Like, and I think she's comfortable where she is. We don't see her blood pressure rise. She just sits there and she's like, yeah, you're right. No, I shouldn't do that. You're right. Yeah. And
yeah, and I think being a therapist.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think she's willing to sit there and be like, okay, you tell me what you think.
Yeah, and then how can I be better?
How can I be, and really think it through, and then just be like, okay, cool, here we go. And you know, somebody like Kim can't do that. She would panic. But I don't know how Denise would play from the top. And I think this is how she wants it. She wants her and Adam, but she also wants Adam to be the person to go home before her. And she wants her and Ben, but she knows that Ben is going to be a bigger target than her. And she doesn't mind if she doesn't have the numbers, because she's always going to be somebody's number, because she's got such a good chance of just being a free agent later. I think she's playing a really good game. I do wonder, though, why Danny chose Denise. I wonder what caused that.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that. I feel like, yeah, I have no idea, because I'm not really sure if they talk about it. There could be some pregame thing that we knew nothing about, honestly.
Yeah.
Also, Denise said, holy crap cakes when she found her immunity idol.
I know.
I feel like that needs to be said.
Yeah, I mean, that's Denise. That's Denise, right? That's what happens when you're from Iowa. You say, holy crap cakes.
I know, that's so sweet. Versus Adam with the longest blur of all time.
I know.
What did he say?
I don't know. We're going to have to call him up.
I don't know if I'm old enough to hear what he said. That must have been violent.
I know. What a potty mouth, man. It's brutal. Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, a lot of prop bets tonight, or not too many, but just good ones. So we have four people getting a hidden immunity idol. We've got Denise, we've got Adam, got Kim and Sophie. Adam with a mouth blur. Natalie said the episode title, it's like a Survivor economy. But we're not touching any of the confessionals in every episode they're in because of the edge of extinction. And I love that Rob called it Extinction Island, because that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. No, yeah. I like that so much too. Yeah. I completely agree.
I'm super excited for Rob and Sandra, because there is a disconnect there.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't wait to see that, because when he called her friend, I was like, what? He really thinks that, and he has no idea. And maybe Sandra's playing it up. Who knows? But they have no idea. And I feel like he's thinking Sandra could have been voted out to give him the token. Meanwhile, Sandra's like, screw Rob, screw Amber, get them both out of here.
Yeah,
like, I don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here. And I will say, like, you know, we got a lot of Amber tonight. Amber's not going to get back in the game. I just don't see it happening. She was not great at challenges back in the day. She's not going to be great at challenges now. You know, she, more than anyone, seems like she's in over her head, and not just because she got voted out, but just because of, like, the looking around, the things that she doesn't really understand what she's looking for. And I do think that that has a lot to do with the fact that her husband was so involved in it. I think for her, it was probably better to just step aside. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she wants to go out there and she wants to do well and she wants to win, or she wants to be a part of it. But sometimes you just can't. I mean, sometimes it's just over your head. And I think, like, Danny could turn it around. I don't really see Amber turning it around if she were to get back in the game.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that. Who you got for MVP? By the way, Danny was on Vaughn's team. Hip, hip, hooray. He spent 110 on her. The second most he spent on somebody. More than I spent on everybody except Michelle. Just saying. And so... He's down one. Intern gets a brief, you know, Reprieve. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I almost
I
said
wasn't
bequeath.
Sure how to pronounce it.
He got a brief bequeath. He got a brief bequeath. And so intern doesn't lose anybody tonight after losing Amber and Natalie. what are we thinking for MVP? Maybe you want to go first. I don't really have a good feel on this.
I thought you were going to make a big case for Adam. I'm going to say Denise because Denise didn't have to do much and got a lot of good things coming her way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I also think Jeremy, and we didn't say his name much tonight, I think he had a phenomenal episode.
I think Jeremy had a good night, good episode.
Great rebound.
Dialed it back. Yeah. Really
great rebound. And even at that tribal, when everybody's losing it and talking, they purposely kept showing Jeremy just sitting there, mouth shut, jaw tight, not saying a word, not going to move. I know it's not me, and I'm going to make sure it's not me. I'm not going to say anything that's going to make them think, hello, I'm right here.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was going to say, I think Denise is a good one. I think Jeremy, you know, is another
one. Jeremy. Sean McGuigan just said Sophie. I mean, Sophie literally didn't have to do anything. It was given an idol.
Yep.
I think it should be the latter, though, Jennifer Halliday. Excellent point.
Yes, I will make my case for Adam just because on my team, Michelle hasn't done much. Nick was invisible tonight. Kim, definitely not having great episodes. And Boston Rob, I thought, had a pretty bad episode. Despite he had a great social episode, he had a pretty bad, everything else episode. But, I'll make my case for Adam. I think you need to stand up, and people are going to say, well, you know, it's not a good move, blah, blah, blah. You need to show people that Boston Rob is human just like all of you. Like, just because he's Boston Rob doesn't mean he gets to dictate every single thing that people do. You know what I mean? Like, it happened too many times, and Adam knows that. And once the sheep start thinking that way, there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, so I think you have to say to him, why are we doing this? We look for idols. That's part of the game. Like, sorry, you don't have one. And so you want to make a big deal out of it. But that doesn't mean everybody else should have to blow up their game. And maybe he gained reads on them. I know he's a poker player, so he probably was able to gain reads on, like, who's complaining, who's not. Adam, do you have an idol? Maybe you do. Why are you complaining like this? I don't think anybody caught on that Denise had one, though. Because Denise just sat there, kept her mouth shut, and said, I'm going to put it right here. And I'm just going to hold my bag and put my arms out. And nobody's even going to notice.
And that's what I think I'm liking about Denise and Adam's relationship. Like, Denise, they complement each other well because Adam is going to be the one to speak up. Denise never would have been the one to speak up, but she was the one who had the idol. So she had to just be cool. Like, it worked really well for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And
again.
Yeah, it'll be question and question and question, but I think it's the right move because if you don't say anything to him, all of a sudden now it's like Boston Rob just got us all to empty his bags. Okay, what's Boston Rob going to do next?
Yeah,
like, is he gonna pull the Black Widow Brigade and be like, okay, you now have to give up your necklace? Like,
that's why I am surprised. Out of the three main old schoolers in that alliance, Boston Rob isn't the one that they gun for. I know that everyone's terrified of Parvati, but if you're not terrified, you should be equally as terrified of both of them. They're both, to me, like, pretty much the exact same, and. Like, if Boston Rob gets voted out, who's going to have a meltdown?
Well, and I also have to say this. I think the one with the best chance to win out of all the old schoolers is Ethan. And nobody's really paying attention to that. Like, he's right there. Nobody's saying Ethan's name. Like, we don't know anybody. Nobody's saying we should vote out Ethan. I personally think you should probably vote out Ethan before you vote out Boston Rob or Parvati. Because Boston Rob and Parvati are always going to be targets to get rid of. Ethan's like, making everybody laugh. Nice guy. Just kind of latching on. I don't know what's going on. Ethan gets to the end playing the game that he's playing right now. He's going to win the game because he's not dumb. And he's not as – like, he's going to sit down and he's going to say, this is my story and this is the strategy I had coming out here. I knew I was going to be in over my head, blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be epic. It's going to be absolutely epic. So he's the one they should be worried about. And they're so worried about Rob and Parvati that they're ignoring the fact that Ethan is literally their little, like, parrot who's just saying everything they want to hear. And he's also – I mean, if you really think about it, Ethan's also kind of – playing both sides. We're not seeing much of that from Parvati, especially.
Him and Ben are tight.
And it seems like Ethan's just kind of like everybody's little friend. And it's like, sure, I'll work with you. Why not? Sure, I'll give it a try. I'll tell you that, this person's name got brought up or this person's name got brought up. Look, Ben, I got Danny to tell you that the old schoolers had an alliance. See, I'm loyal to you. I don't believe that there's an alliance there. Ethan is so good.
He's so good. I love him. I know we've gotten pretty much nothing with him tonight, but he's great.
Yeah, but that's a good segue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
To our next episode?
Oh, you just froze. Oh, man. So the good segue was cut off. But
the good segue to our next episode.
Yes. This Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, 10. Nope. Let's mix that up. 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. We are talking to one of Ethan's original, if not Ethan's first ally, Lex Vandenberg. We are super excited to talk to him. We talked to Lex only once before, and that was for our Ethan retrospective. I think Lex just did an interview with somebody else too. So he's the one to talk to right now because he's played with all these old school people. We are super, super pumped to talk to Lex. So make sure to tune in this Monday. We normally do this on Sundays, but we had to push it a little bit late this time. So this Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, talking to Lex Vandenberg. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Can't wait for that. And we really wanted to have him on for season 39, but we also didn't want to spoil the surprise that we had him for season 40 coming up. So we didn't want to bring anybody on like that because he was one of the first people we actually were able to record with for 40. So we haven't talked to him pretty much since last summer. Yeah. But yeah, he's going to give some great insight. I think was his interview with Red. Who was it? I don't remember who his interview was with, but he just did one. So yeah, he's going to be able to give us some good insight on how his guy Ethan's doing. He was very high on Ethan anyway. He thinks Ethan could be very good. And I don't know. I'm excited for it. So vote for MVP in the chat here for sure. Do it here. We keep getting a lot of comments. We keep getting a lot of views. One thing I really want to say, we are like 50 downloads away on Audio Boom from our episode one thing hitting 5,000, which maybe you guys like don't really understand that, but like the 5,000 there is huge. So if we can get that one to 5,000 and we can consistently be up there, like the Chris Underwood one's over 3,000, all that. I mean, last season we were pretty much doing like 1,500 on there while doing a lot on YouTube. Now we're doing a lot on YouTube and getting the downloads there. The downloads there are very big. That's when we can start getting Blue Chew ads and things like that. So if you want to hear some Blue Chew ads, go download
Mom, turn it off, Mom. Go to bed.
Go download it on Audio Boom. But otherwise, yeah. Alexa, what were you gonna say?
I'm just saying, Mom, shut off the YouTube. The YouTube machine, the Facebook. I'm looking at our YouTube page right now. Our premiere recap has 12,000 views. That's almost as much as like the Kelly Wentworth tell all. And that was when Phil and I had a freak out about the fact that we had Kelly Wentworth on our show.
The only predictions
8,000 views. Like these are so much higher than our average. You guys have been so awesome.
Yeah, and the only episode actually that's higher right now than our Winners at War premiere is the episode, the Varner Zeke episode. So that says a lot about everybody. So that was our number one most viewed episode out of in-season episodes, I'm saying, like out of finales, premieres, from episode one to episode 14 of a season. That's pretty good. So if we can get that one over that, then we could finally say, hey, our number one episode is actually the Winners at War premiere, instead of having to be like, yeah, it was the Varner Zeke episode.
Phil and Alexa, that's what we're good at.
Yeah, we need to get that one down there. Keep on listening. It's great. We love doing it. And we still are getting a lot of views tonight, despite the fact that it's 10:10 on the West Coast and Alexa is about to wake up for work. So
Exactly. I'm surprisingly not dead.
It's shocking.
I'm hyped. It's season 40. But yeah, 323 live viewers. That is terrifying, but great. Mm-hmm. So keep hitting that subscribe button. Keep watching us. Keep listening to us. Keep downloading us, whatever you're into. Tell your friends. We are selling merchandise. Go to the pinned tweet on our, what's that thing called? Twitter page.
It is.
And yep, it's 1:10 in the morning. And buy some stuff. It's very exciting. Sean McGuigan, I'm going to give him a shout out. He was at Wendell's watch party tonight and has our logo as his phone background. So try to be more like Sean. And Wendell complimented it and said he loves us. So
when did this happen? Why do I not know this?
Oh, he messaged me personally. Sorry, Phil.
Oh, thanks, Sean. You know what, man? Your power rankings are now getting tossed, which, by the way, anybody who still wants to become a $20 patron, become a $20 patron, because because it's not too late. Dani going home tonight, nobody had her low. I think the lowest might have been like 11th or 12th place. Wasn't very low, which means Alexa's actually doing well in the power rankings game for the first time ever. That won't last. So if you're only behind Alexa and one other person, there's a very good chance you could finish top two. So get in there and you can still do that. That's for $20 patrons. It looks like we have 31 who are actually partaking in the game. We have some other patrons who didn't actually send us any boot or any power rankings. So if you're one of those, send us your power rankings next week. You're definitely not out of it at all. So Sean McGuigan, thanks for using us as your phone background. And yeah, Wendell better like it. Okay. Cause we made Adam famous, but we made Wendell really famous.
Yeah. We definitely are the reason that they are on this season.
Yes, absolutely.
Become a patron, like, subscribe, retweet, favorite, follow us on all social media, and everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back this Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time with Lex Vandenberg for our episode 3 predictions and power rankings.
Bye. Bye.